So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translated and with elaborate purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Tonight we will read from chapter number 7, text number 27. To invoke auspiciousness, we will chant this mantra. Kindly repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Icchā dvesha samutena
dvandva mohena bharata
sarvabhutani
sammohaṃ sarge yanti parantapa.
Icchā dvesha samutena
dvandva mohena bharata
sarvabhutani sammohaṃ
sarge yanti parantapa.
O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion. Bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by His internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jada Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, we are presently in the world, and those who are born into delusion. It's actually hell. We're living in hell. So, the good news is you don't have to live in hell. Just like the room may be very dark, but you just hit the switch. You flip that switch and boom. Now it's an illuminated room. The Vedic injunction is tamasi ma jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness. Come to the light. So, if we take light, om jnana timaranda shagananjana shalakaya chakshurun miritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. If we take the light from the spiritual master, then we're not in the darkness anymore. Genena tu tadagyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityam vajyanam prakashayati tatparam. Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 16. He says, when one is enlightened by that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge lights up everything. Like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So, it doesn't take a Herculean effort, really, to flip a switch, does it? Even a little kid can, even one of these little children here, where'd they go? Can flip the switch. Just, very simple thing. So, Krishna consciousness means flipping the switch. Instead of living in hell, you can live in heaven at every minute. You just got to flip the switch. But the problem is, in a dark room, where's the switch? If you can't find the switch, then you have problems, you see. In the dark room. You ever been in a dark room? I know I'm traveling all over the world. Every night, a different room. You know, and sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, and where is that light switch? You're groping for it. Where is that light switch? Even just not coming up the stairs to this lecture, I couldn't find the switch. When I came to the door on the bottom, where's the switch to turn on the lights? I couldn't find it, you see. But Mataji knew where it was. She flipped it on. So, even if we don't know where the switch is, you see, the spiritual master knows where the switch is. He knows how to flip on that switch. So if we take help from that person who is enlightened with transcendental knowledge, you see, and we hear from him how we can also become enlightened with transcendental knowledge, then it's not difficult. We simply have to agree to hear from that person who is enlightened with transcendental knowledge. If you hear from a cheater, a bluffer, who's posing as a spiritual master, well, you're going to be cheated and bluffed. That's about it. That happened to me. I was looking for self-realization. This is back in 1968. I was looking for self-realization, a youth. Must have been like, 21 years, something like that. 21-year-old youth, looking for self-realization. And somebody told me, well, there's this one Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and he's giving this mantra. And if you chant this mantra, you'll become enlightened. So I took, you had to pay to get initiated, you see. Initiation fee is like a business deal, like buying a ticket on an airline, you know. You have to pay the fee to get initiated. So I scraped some money together. It was 1 month's rent, actually. I scraped together, took 1 month's rent. I went to pay my initiation fee, and I got my mantra, you see. Aing, 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 aing. They tell me, you chant this mantra, you keep it silent. It's a secret mantra. Don't tell anybody, so we can charge everybody else for it, too. And you have to chant it silently for 20 minutes twice a day. Now, when you go out here to the airport, like tomorrow I'm flying out to London and then the U.S., but you get in the airplane, right? You're taxiing down the runway, and after a while you lift off, right? So bona fide mantra, it lifts you off at a certain point, you know. There's a liftoff that happens with a bona fide mantra. So I was chanting, and I was aying, 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 just waiting for liftoff, you know, going down that runway, taxiing down the runway, aying, 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 aying. Where's the liftoff? Where's the liftoff? Nothing's happening. I'm still stuck here in the misery of material existence. Aying, 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 aying. It didn't work, you see, because sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpala matha. Whatever mantra you've been given, if it's not coming in a bona fide line of succession, you're going to be stuck on the runway taxiing forever. You're never going to get lift off, you see. Nishpal is the Sanskrit word. No result, you see. So there I was, you know. I put 1 month's rent. There wasn't any money back guarantee either. So I was stuck with a mantra that left me stuck in the material world. And I was, you know, 1 month's rent more broke now. Oh, boy. But I didn't give up, you know. I didn't give up. I had faith that, you know, God wasn't so cruel he would leave me in misery forever, you know. There had to be some way out of here. Even Bob Dylan said that, you know. There's got to be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. So I believed it, you know. There's got to be some way out of this rotten, miserable material existence. So I kept looking, and finally I was given this magic mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And there was no fee, you didn't have to pay for it. It was a gift, it was a gift of love, you see. And I chanted this mantra, and wow, I mean, it was like getting on a magic carpet, just going whoosh. Into other dimensions, you know, beyond the material existence. I could feel like a magic carpet ride when I would chant, you know. So I hadn't even met the devotees yet. Some friend of mine just turned me on to the mantra, and it was so powerful, I couldn't believe it. It was wonderful. And then later on, I met the devotees. I got inspired to go on a spiritual journey, and I just happened to come to the devotees. And gradually, they convinced me that if you really want to chant this mantra properly, you have to be a disciple of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. That's actually the Vedic injunction given by Lord Krishna himself in the Adi Purana. He says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, ye bhaktanam cha. Let's see, what has it go? Ye me bhakta jana parata na me bhakta shtate janaha. I forget the last two lines, but He's saying that the one who is my devotee, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta, he's not my devotee. Mad bhaktanancha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta, tamamata. Yes, I got the mantra now. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. That's stated in the Adi Purana. So Krishna really wants to see that his devotees are, the people become devoted to his devotees, you see. If I approach Krishna directly, he's not so interested. But when I come through, when I'm introduced to him by his devotee, you see, then Krishna is, oh, very good, now you've understood properly. You'll become the devotee of my devotee, you see. And we approach Krishna in that mood, then we ask Krishna, we get full access to Krishna. That's the system. So I met one very wonderful disciple of Prabhupada, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. Very, very wonderful. Prabhupada actually said that Vishnu Janaswami is personally a very, very nice devotee, therefore he has made many nice devotees. Of course, I don't think that I'm a nice devotee, but he made me a devotee. I'm one of the non-nice devotees that he made. But I could see the wonderful, I could see by chanting Hare Krishna, Vishnu Janaswami became just like a swan, you know, Paramahamsa. He was in this world, but he wasn't affected by it. He was completely transcendental to the world. It was amazing. He was dealing in the world so expertly. He came into Austin, where I was living, Austin, Texas, USA. He had no money. He had no vehicle. He had no helpers. He had no kartal, no harmonium, no mridanga. He had, all he had was his danda, a blanket, a razor blade, a toothbrush, a Bhagavad Gita, as it is, the old Allen Ginsberg edition, the Allen Ginsberg forward in it, a little tiny, thin, highly abridged edition. And now those brown, the first canto of the Bhagavatams, those are three brown volumes. That's all he had. And then he had no facility, no place to stay, no vehicle, no money. But he had the order of Srila Prabhupada to open, go out and open 10 temples. He had Prabhupada's order. And it was amazing. I watched this whole thing happen. Because a friend of mine introduced me to him the first day when he first came. Somebody told me there was a Swami, a Hare Krishna Swami in town. You got to come meet him. But it was amazing because I was going to his programs every evening. And within a matter of weeks, he had a temple building. Can you imagine? Filled up with devotees. He had an actual building. He had a house. A temple building. Within a matter of weeks, from nothing to a building, full up devotees. It was just absolutely miraculous to see them. So when I saw this person, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, how he had become transformed by chanting Hare Krishna, I went, wow. That's really, I'd like to do that too. I want to be like Vishnu Janaswami, you see. You know, completely just, he was just so merciful, just giving love to everybody. I mean, everybody, anybody who came in contact with him was just amazing. I mean, the impact he had, just for example, even the little children were completely, it was amazing. Like none of us had seen Prabhupada, you know. We just heard about Prabhupada and Vishnu Janaswami. And he talked about Prabhupada with so much feeling, with so much devotion. There was a little baby girl there. One of the ladies had a little child, you see, a little tiny baby girl. And this little girl had heard about Prabhupada. And what does she know about spiritual master or any of that kind of stuff? She doesn't know. But she just heard the way that Vishnu Janaswami would talk about Prabhupada. And so this little baby girl, you would hear her, she'd just call out, Prabhupada! 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 And just hearing the way that little baby girl would call the name of Prabhupada, I go, wow, you know, this is amazing. So it was, he had so much love for Srila Prabhupada that he would do anything for Srila Prabhupada, anything. And just by coming in contact with him, you wanted to be a disciple of Prabhupada. It was just and that's what happened to me. by associating with Jishnu Janaswami, I had to become a devotee of Prabhupada because, I mean, you wanted to be like Vishnu Jan, and he was the coolest person you'd ever met in your whole life. I mean, he was really cool. So this is a very important thing because Krishna, in our present condition state of consciousness, Krishna is very far away. I mean, how many of you can see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, 24 hours a day? You see, right now we're covered by the modes. Even if God is there, he's omnipresent. The great sages can see him at every minute. That's a fact. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hrida yosha valokayanti yang shama shunyar machint yoganasva rupam govinda maripurisham tamaham bhajami. Those who have anointed their eyes with the salve of love of God and Krishna at every minute, within and without. You see. What about us poor, suffering, conditioned souls who are struggling with our senses, you see? So how are we going to come in contact with Krishna? When Krishna says, you can contact me through my representative, the devotee of the Lord. You see. You, through the devotee, you can contact me. So that was my experience, you see. I wanted to realize God, but I had no inkling of an idea how to do it. But by meeting a person who was living in a very high state of God realization, then you could see, this is how it's done. Here's someone who's living in a state of God realization 24 hours a day, you see. Just by experiencing that person, just by getting that loving reciprocation from that person, it gave great faith that I'd like to try this too. I mean, this is so wonderful. I don't want to miss out on this nectar, you know. This is so wonderful. So I tell you, I was not a very qualified new bhakta living in the ashram. I was a little rough around the edges, I think you could say. And I was really amazed that I got a letter back from Prabhupada finally. One day a letter came. It says, dated August 12, 1971 from London. And he said, Vishnu Jana Maharaj has told me that you're serving very nicely there in our Austin temple. I went, wow, he's really, how kind he was to say I was serving nicely. I thought I was pretty much a rascal. He said, this boy, Steve, he's been serving very nicely in our temple. I'd like to recommend him for initiation. So Prabhupada said, because he has said you're serving very nicely, therefore I'm accepting you as my disciple, Sankarshan Das. And that was just the beginning of that whole thing of being accepted by Prabhupada. It was the beginning of the sweetest, most wonderful life I could ever imagine. Prabhupada actually explained in a lecture in Los Angeles that from the very moment of initiation, the very day of initiation, one attains deathlessness. I mean, how many of you would like to be able to enter into immortality right now, even with in your present body? How many of you would like to enter into immortality in your present body? Does it sound interesting? Yes. Someone says, come here, we'll give you immortality. You can begin right now. Your eternal identity. You can enter into it right now and live in it forever. It's very attractive. Well, that's when you're initiated by a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession. Prabhupada said that as long as you obey the instructions of your spiritual master, then your eternal existence begins at that very minute. You see. It was the greatest blessing. That this greatest spiritual master who had accomplished what no other spiritual master in the history of the world had ever accomplished, this greatest spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Ti Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He accepted such a low character as myself, such a wild, puffed up beast as me. He accepted me as his disciple. And my life became the most exciting adventure, and it just keeps getting more and more exciting. I mean, it's amazing that no matter how exciting it has gotten, it gets more exciting, more exciting, more exciting. That's called the Krishna consciousness, you see. Once you take Krishna consciousness seriously, you become an inhabitant of the spiritual world, even while you're living here in Helsinki. You can be living in Helsinki and actually be living in heaven at every minute with Krishna. You see, because Krishna is fully accessible in the form of his nama, his name. So if you will connect with Krishna through his name, you're not living in hell, thank you. You're living in hell rising. Going, you see. Hell rising instead of hell sinking. So, Prabhupada has given me the formula how to get out of hell. And so I just travel all over the world and I share the formula with everybody. You like to get out of hell? Do you feel like you're living in hell? Well, I have the formula. I'll get you out of hell. I've come here to show you how to get out of hell. You see? All you got to do is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. With faith and with love, you see. It's not a mechanical process like doing push-ups. It's a loving relationship with Krishna. There's a person out there named Krishna who's God, who's the source of everything. He's not a fairy tale. He's not simply a make-believe story. There actually is a person who's the origin of all existence. Now, Stephen Hawking would disagree with me. He's supposed to be the greatest brain on the planet today, Dr. Stephen Hawking in the UK. But he says that this universe comes out of absolutely nothing. Now I ask you, is that scientific? How many of you have ever made popcorn before? Who's popped popcorn before? Yes, I've made it. Everybody's popped popcorn. You didn't remember popped it? You never made popcorn? You should learn how to pop popcorn for Krishna. It's nice. So anyway, most of us have the practical experience of popping popcorn. Now, how many of you, when you popped the popcorn, did you take an empty pot and put it on the stove and you got popcorn out of an empty pot? Did anybody have that experience? No. You put some kernels in the pot, you put some oil in the pot, you put it on the heat and pop, 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 lo and behold, zoop, there it is, a pot full of popcorn. You see? So popcorn does not pop out of nothing. Nothing pops out of nothing. There's no scientist that's ever been proved by any experiment that something can come out of nothing, but yet the person who is celebrated as the greatest brain on the planet right now, Dr. Stephen Hawking, says that the universe came out of absolutely nothing. Therefore, I call him Dr. Stephen He Hawking, you know, like an ass. Hee-haw, Hee-Hawkings, Hee-Hawkings, Hee-Hawkings. He does his hee-haws that the universe comes out of nothing and everyone applauds him. You say, oh, he's the greatest brain in the history of the world. He's better than Newton. He's better than Einstein. He's better than all of them because it says the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. Let's give Dr. Hawking a big applause. You see? This is called Fool's Paradise. They elevate one big fool to make the most foolish, outrageous statements that ever made in the history of the universe, and people are applauding him. You see? But I'm not a stupid idiot to follow such people. I have a little bit of intelligence because I made popcorn before. And I know it doesn't come out of an empty pot. So I can understand this universe does not come out of nothing. So there's something it came out of, all right? And what that something is, now we'll discuss what that something is. What do you get out of a gold mine? Gold, isn't it? You get gold out of a gold mine. You ever heard of a goldless gold mine? That you extracted gold from it, but it didn't have gold in it? No. Gold mine must have gold. Otherwise, how you can get the gold out of it? So, from that original mine or source of existence, so many persons have come. I'm a person, you're a person. Don't you feel that? Don't you know that you're a person? Does anybody here not feel their personality? Is anybody here an imperson? Are there any impersons here? No, every one of us is a person. We have our own sense of individuality. I like certain things. I dislike certain things. You like certain things. You dislike certain things. This is personality. You see. Somebody likes pakoras better. Somebody likes halva better. Somebody likes sabji better. You know, we're all individuals. We're personalities. So there's so many persons within this universe who have come out of the origin of the universe, therefore, just as gold, a gold mine must possess gold for gold to be extracted from it, the origin of existence must possess personality in order for personalities to be extracted from it. You understand the logic? The origin of existence must possess personality. Otherwise, you can't get persons out of an impersonal origin. So, therefore, if it possesses its personality, is it an imperson? No, it is a person. Therefore, we don't call it generally. You see, we refer to that absolute source of everything as a person. And that's the reality. And that's confirmed in the Bible, the Quran, in the Vedic scriptures, that absolute source of everything, the origin of existence, is a person. And that person has been described by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The Supreme Controller is known as Krishna. He has an eternal form that is full of bliss and knowledge. He is the origin of all. He has no origin. He is also known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. The person who wrote those words is the topmost demigod within this material world who's in charge of this whole universe. Actually, there are many Brahmas. There are unlimited universes within this material world. Hawking doesn't know about that one. But there are unlimited universes within the material world, and each one has a predominating deity known as Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma of this universe, he had a realization of Krishna. He had a direct vision of Krishna. And after meeting Krishna directly, he shared with us what he had realized by meeting Krishna. And he explained that Krishna is the origin of everything. So, we know that there's a person out there now who's the source of all existence. We know that he has unlimited names. So that means that whether you're a Buddhist or a Christian, a Jew, a Sikh, a Muslim, a Christian, whatever you may be, you can call out to that supreme person according to your own scriptures. And if you call out with love, not out of greed, of wanting to squeeze some money out of him or something like that, if you call it out of love, that supreme person will reciprocate with you. You see, will reciprocate. In fact, one sometimes is asked, well, why do we exist? Well, the reason is that supreme person, the source of all existence, is emanating us from himself for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with us. So each one of us exists for the purpose, the exclusive purpose, of having a loving relationship with that supreme person. So that's why if you have not awakened the pure love of God within your heart, that's why there's going to be some frustration. You see, every one of us is looking for perfect love. But the fact is we can't find it in this world. Perfect love does not exist in this world. You see, that's the problem. It doesn't exist here. If you want perfect love, you have to go to that original person who's the source of all existence. You have to cultivate a loving relationship with that supreme person. And when you do that, once you connect yourself in love with that supreme person who's the source of all existence, guess what happens? Now you can perfectly love everybody. You can love yourself perfectly. You can love your spouse perfectly. You can love your family members, your friends. You can love the whole human society, even the ant you can love perfectly. Just as when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you can love that supreme person who's the source of all existence, now you can love everyone perfectly. So just imagine how good you would feel if you could go around the world giving pure love to every single person that you meet. Just imagine how clean and beautiful you would feel in your heart. You see, that's called Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the true platform of universal love. So we have our society here, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was founded by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, who was showering this entire planet with love while he was here on this planet. And he's still doing it. Even though physically we don't see Prabhupada, spiritually he's still here. He's here in the form of his books. He's here in the form of his disciples and grand disciples who are preaching on his behalf. He's here in so many ways in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement. So if you connect yourself with this Krishna consciousness movement, then you can get that dust of Prabhupada's feet on your head, you see. Prabhupada's foot dust is everywhere throughout ISKCON. You connect yourself with his society, then you can get that pure love that he is radiating, that love coming from Krishna through Prabhupada to us. You can get that love, you see. And if you will purely preach our share, preach is sometimes considered a bad word because we're the born-again Christians. If you will share that wonderful mercy that you are getting from Krishna, from Prabhupada, and from the followers of this movement, if you will take that mercy that you're getting and you will share it as much as possible with everybody, you know what will happen? Krishna will give you more mercy. This is why somebody can become addicted. Well, I'll go ahead and use the word preaching. Somebody can become addicted to preaching because the more you give the mercy of Krishna with others, the more Krishna gives you more mercy, more mercy. So the more you give the mercy, the more you get the mercy. So that's why I take all the trouble of traveling all over the world, even though I'm a senior citizen. You know, my body isn't, I'm not a young kid. I feel like a young kid, though. I feel like a 20-year-old kid that joined the movement to save the world. Krishna consciousness does that. It makes you feel like you're youthful. It does. Because even though my body's, you know, I just turned 63 now. I just had my, you know, even though the body is an old man's body, I'm getting so much, Krishna's given me so much nectar by just sharing whatever nectar I've gotten and realize I just try to share that everywhere with everywhere I go, and it's just become, it's just, I can't imagine how much happiness one person can actually experience because I'm getting so much happiness. All I can do is try to share it with everybody because I have a lot more happiness than I could possibly enjoy. So I just try to make everybody happy wherever I go. I try to enliven you and pick you up and, you know, put you in a state of bliss. Because the more I can do that, the more I become blissful also. So this Krishna consciousness movement is actually the greatest blessing for the suffering humanity. And it's like a wonderful tidal wave of mercy just sweeping the whole world. So I encourage all of you to just to come into this ocean of Krishna's love. Come in this ocean and sport in these wonderful waves of Krishna's love. And I guarantee if you'll do that, you'll be the happiest person in the whole world. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you have at home going on or in your office. Don't worry about all that stuff. Just put yourself into Krishna consciousness and you'll become very happy. I guarantee it. You'll become totally happy. And then in your relationships at home and at work or at school, you'll become much better and a much more intelligent, happy, loving person in all your relationships in the material world. So you don't really lose anything. If you become Krishna conscious, you gain everything. So we have a few minutes left. I was told till 6 o'clock, Mani Raj Prabhu. 6 o'clock is the usual cutoff.
Yeah, or a little earlier.
Oh, okay. All right, so normally it's a little earlier, but since I didn't know, let's see if there's any questions. But I will cut it off by 6. All right, here's a question back here.
Immortality sounds great. Can I have one, please?
What is he saying? My hearing is a bit... how are we going to do this? I have a hearing loss. So.
The immortality sounds great, so may I have one, please, he said.
One what?
Immortality sounds great.
Yes, if you like to become immortal, we have it. Then we will train you how to do them. If you want immortality, then you can take up our practice of chanting Hare Krishna Japa Mala every day, at least 16 rounds. And yeah, that mantra. Do you have chanting beads? Do you have the mala chanting beads? How many rounds do you chant every day now? How many? Zero. Okay. Well, what you need to do is start chanting. Here's the best thing is to get up and chant in the early morning before the sunrise. And, of course, sometimes the sunrise is very early here, but, you know, get up early before the birds start chirping. Get up before the birds start chirping, and you do your chirping on the beads every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then you give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Or if you can't give them all up at once, give them up gradually. Give up your bad habits, like meat eating, messing around with women, this kind of stuff. Just become pure, you know. Become pure in your habits. Give up smoking, whatever habits, bad habits you have, give up your bad habits and chant Hare Krishna. And then gradually you will get an awakening of consciousness within you. It's like a sunrise on a beautiful spring morning. Well, is it easy to get a college degree? No, it's difficult. You have to work for it. So if you want to achieve immortality, you have to work for it. Yeah. Any other questions? Everybody satisfied now? No questions? All right. There's no questions. I'll get ready to go to the U.S. Get ready to go ahead and pack. Go ahead and pack up. Get ready to head out. But if you have any questions, I can stay a little longer for a few more minutes. I've been authorized, but go till 6. Yana. Yes, you have a hard time understanding that we're emanating from Krishna.
Not so much that, but the reconnecting part I have trouble. I can't quite see why is there a need for a medium.
Connect.
Why can't I directly?
Well, why do you need an intermediary?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a nice question, I mean to say. Well, I don't really know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why Krishna said that, but he did. Why Krishna wants us to go through his devotee, to be a devotee of his devotee in order to become his devotee. I don't know why. That's just his personality. What can I say? It's like there's an English proverb. If you love me, love my dog. So it's just Krishna's nature. I'll tell you exactly why. Krishna loves his devotees like anything. And he wants you to love his devotees also. If you say, Krishna, I don't love your devotees, I only love you, he doesn't like them. Because his devotees are so dear to him. He wants anyone who approaches him to love his devotees also. You see? That's why. Because now I understand the answer. Because Krishna loves his devotees so much, he doesn't want to allow you to get close to him unless you also love his devotees. That's the reason why. He has so much affection for his devotees, he wants you to love his devotees also. That's why. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, that was a great question, Jana. I appreciate that very much. Thank you so much. All right, anybody else have a question? Yes.
Was it 16?
Why 16 rounds?
Was it 16?
Huh?
Was it 16 rounds?
What?
Why?
No. Why 16?
No. Are you asking 16 rounds?
What is it?
What you mentioned, was it 16 rounds that you mentioned?
16 rounds is the, one should chant at least 16 rounds in japa beads every day, yes. That's right, 16 rounds. That's the requirement to enter into immortality, yeah. Because we right now we're contaminated by the material atmosphere. A certain amount of purification is necessary every day just to keep our nose above water, so to speak. If you're in the ocean, what will save you from drowning is to have your nose above water. But if your nose is that much underwater, you'll drown. If your nose is that much above water, you're safe, you see. So 16 rounds is just barely enough spiritual energy to get your in a safe position. 15 rounds, you're just slightly under the water. You're not quite there. 16 rounds to get your nose above the water and you'll be safe.
I have a problem.
Okay.
Smoking.
Okay.
And
how many packs a day do you smoke?
I don't know, maybe 20 cigarettes.
20 cigarettes? Okay. Well, what we recommend is don't try to give it up all at once. That'll be too heavy. Let's say if you're smoking 20 cigarettes a day now, you should tomorrow you should go to 19. And day after tomorrow, go to 18. And then the time you did smoke the cigarette, you should chant Hare Krishna in that time, you see. And that way, by the time you're done, you'll be chanting 20 rounds a day of Hare Krishna and not smoking any cigarettes. Replace the cigarette smoking with chanting one round of japa. In this way, you can gradually wean off. Don't do it all at once; it'll be too heavy. But do one cigarette a day. And that way, within the time 3 weeks is up, you'll be clean. You'll be flying high in the mantra. And that you might be flying in the friendly skies of Hare Krishna. Come and fly with us. We'd love to have you up there flying with us. The cigarettes will keep you on the ground. You know, give it. I'm really excited. I hope. Then 3 weeks you'll be clean and be flying high with us in the Hare Krishna sky.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, anything else? Everybody's, yes? Did you make out what he said? Better one of you who heard come and tell me in my ear. Anybody could hear? Anybody figure out what he said? You couldn't make it out either?
You said something in 2004 or something.
Did anybody make out what he said? If you did, come and tell me in my ear. Everybody, you say. Yeah, we want to save everyone, that's right.
Yeah, well, and you answered, well, it can be done even in 18 days.
Yes, about in 18 days, if everybody will agree to follow the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, in 18 days the whole world can be saved. That's a fact.
Then I told you, it's a matter of about 18 days. When I have this knowledge and I want to share it, I have a message, and it's on display at Mantic Mandala. Become my Kiryu currency in the net. But at the moment it can be seen in Facebook Mantic Mandala.
So what's that? I missed that. Did you follow what he said?
He was saying that message is in the Facebook at the Mandala.
Mantic Mandala.
There's a message on Facebook of what I said.
Is your ID?
You posted what I said on the Mandala?
Yeah, well, I posted a letter to you.
To you, he
Ah.
Who is, what are you, Ari?
I'm Sampo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, anyhow.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Anything else? We just got time for one more thing. We got about 1 minute left. Anybody have a quick question? 2 minutes left. Yes.
So, can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard that much.
Because I have a peculiar voice. But according to Vedic scripture, all the pleasure and pain that one experiences in this world is because of our previous karmas.
That's right.
Now, how can that be changed by chanting?
Okay, I'll tell you. That's a very good question. Thank you very much. Your question is answered by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 66. In this verse, Krishna says, Sarvada man purit jaja mamekang sharanang vraja ahang tvang sarvapa bebyo mokshiya shamima shuchaha. He says, abandon all other duties, simply surrender it to me. I will deliver you from all of your karma. Do not fear. So that karma, that is under, that is the law of karma, is under the, is within God's control ultimately. Just like you may be a murderer, but the state government can give you a pardon also if they want to. They can pardon you from murder. They can exonerate your records. They can go in and wipe out all your criminal record. The government can do that if they want to, because they have the power to do them. Now, God has the power to wipe out your karmic record if He wants. Krishna says in the Gita, if you will surrender to me, I will deliver you. Sarva papebhyo mokshiyashami. You know Sanskrit a little bit? Sarva papebhyo mokshiyashami. Sarva is all, papebhyo, sins. Mokshiyashami, I will deliver you. Sarva papebhyo mokshiyashami. I will deliver you from all of your sins. So, but he has to surrender. So surrender means to follow the orders of Krishna, as given in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, he orders us that we should chant. Satatang, in chapter 9, text 14, he says, Satatang kirtiyanto mam, always chanting my glories. So this process of chanting is given by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is the practical means of actually surrendering to Krishna, to chant on a regular daily basis. And by doing that, Krishna guarantees, Sarva Pabhavyo, Mokshiyashami, I deliver you from all of your sinful reactions. That's the answer. Krishna, when he hears you chanting his name with love, and say, okay, all your karma, I erase it. I give you a clean slate. Okay. Our time is up now. The time has run out.
Huh?
All right, but you can send me an email about it. Yeah. The fact is, one could say it's impossible it could happen in this age, that there could be a spiritual revolution. One could say that also. But, I can tell you this, in the U.S. back in the 60s, no one could ever imagine that it could have a black man in the White House in Washington. Back in the 60s, a black man couldn't even walk into the same toilet room as a white person. I went to the department store. They'd have four bathrooms. They'd have one for the women, the white women and white men, and one bathroom for the black women and the black men. If a black man walked in the white bathroom, he could be beaten severely. Now, that's how heavy it was back in the 60s when I was a teenager. A black man was they just called him a nigger, and he was considered like dirt. And if he even looked at a white woman, they could beat the crud out of him. It was pretty heavy. And now you got a black man in the White House. You see, so that's just in like 50 years. So if that's something like that could happen in 50 years, which is unthinkable, that a black man could ever be in the president of the United States. It's unthinkable. So if that could happen, we could have a Hare Krishna prime minister, a Hare Krishna president. Why not another 50 years? It's possible. I tell you, 50 years ago, nobody would ever, if we serve in 2010, we're going to have a black man in the White House of the U.S. They would say, you're crazy. You're insane. But if we can have a black man in the White House, we can have a Hare Krishna in the White House too in another 50 years. So all I can say is Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Keep chanting and we can revolutionize this planet. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.